He's like, who's going to believe that I killed a legendary hero, a lowly human like me, and this, that, and the other? And they're like, you know what? He's right.
He goes, and let's be real, he was trespassing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Sinners Eats the Shop. I'm so used to this, I don't pay it any mind. I just gave it attention, so I guess I do. I'm your host, Senji. With me, my co-host, as always, Irby.
What's up, listeners? I mean, he might not pay to y'all clapping, but you know, I'm here. I'm here for y'all clapping, showing us your loves out there. Appreciate y'all listening to the show.
A true so, man of the people.
I might be.
You gotta, I think I might... I'll have to think about mine, but do you have a flavor this week, Irby?
I got a bunch of different flavors or things that I like, but yeah, I think Spo Blaze has some potential. I think Legendary Hero is Dead might be an interesting one to watch. I did, the part that was funny to me was when she was like, because, yeah, the main character, Tuya, I think. Yeah, he has, like, a weird fetish for putting stockings on radishes, so...
No, he ain't the only one.
Yeah, and so he then... The Legendary Hero showed up or something, and he tried to talk to his friend, and then Tokyo was trying to go and talk to her. And she was like, why don't you go in the corner and play with your meat some more? Or what she said, your radish. I was like, man, that's hilarious. So.
Yeah, it was, it's been on my time. List. So it's, I'm glad I started. I also started, To Your Eternity.
Oh my goodness.
I finished the first episode. I haven't started the second episode yet, but
the first episode fucked me up.
Bruh. Did it?
Yeah. Made me real sad.
Yeah, I was just like, cause the man, I think he really just didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
He was tired of being alone, so he set off on this journey and then like damn, like, I can't help but think that, like, after he died and the orb, which became a wolf, took on his form, the fact that thing died, like, 7 or 9 more times just to get to a town, like, this kid was never gonna make it.
Yeah. It was just sad. He was like, you'll remember me, boy. I was like, oh, God. And I was like, I thought, I was like, man, I'd rather go before my dog go, because, you know, I'd rather my dog go before I go, because my dog will be super sad. So I was like, man.
Dogs get depressed, man.
They do.
Yeah. I had, we tried to mate one of my dogs, and, like, she was not having it, but, like, the male dog, because we kept him for a couple days to, like, try to get them acclimated with each other. And, like, he was trying, but, just, like, she wasn't having it. But, like, he became, like, so in love with her. The guy said, like, he got depressed and, like, died.
Yeah. Animals would do that. I forget there's some animals, like, they partner for life. When the other partner dies, they die, like, shortly afterwards. I'm like, oh, man.
You'd be surprised. People are like that, too. I've noticed when I was working in a nursing home, that, like, there was a good chance that if the spouse, if the woman died in a marriage, if the woman died first, the man followed within a week or two. And, like, it never failed that whenever a married couple, the woman passed, the man followed not too long after. It was rare that the man kept living. But... it almost always vice versa, if the man died first, you know, the woman would be sad, but, like, they wouldn't die soon after. It'd just be like, you know what I mean? So it's interesting that it kind of shows that, like, even though we're intelligent, we are still mammals like other mammals.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets, oh, man, you're in for, like, a damn. Should I even keep watching this? I'm already messed up already. But the first episode, that was what I told her. I was like, I started watching it, and then the first episode happened. I was like, you know what? I'm not finna cry with this stupid rock. And then I was like, all right, let me check the next episode. Yeah, but yeah, I think I watched all the seasons, and I think it was coming back. But I was like, man, sad. It's real tearjerkers at parts.
I'll put more time into it then, because I started it, but, like, you know, sometimes I start and I don't. I've been rewatching Supernatural as well, so, like, when I'm home and I'm playing games, I'll throw on Supernatural, you know what I mean? Because, like, when I'm watching anime, I want to pay attention to anime, so, like, I need to throw on something I've already seen when I'm playing something I need to pay attention to.
Yeah, because this ain't the one for that. I was like, no! I was like, you kidding me? I'm like, what? Man. But yeah, all right, continuing. What's, do you have a flavor? Was that your flavor?
If I had a flavor, even though it's not my usual flavor, it'd have to be like me realizing that that boy was never gonna make it.
Yeah,
my whatever this thing is died 7 times just trying to find civilization, pissed on itself, and like all this other nonsense.
My boy was never gonna make it. You haven't even met any other main characters yet.
No. I like the next, like, you know how some animes, like, when the episode is, I guess, like, sometimes they won't show ending credits.
Yeah, this, like, one does show some stuff.
The first episode didn't really have ending credits, so, like, I saw a little girl in the next episode, but, like, I stopped there and just turned off and did something else. So I haven't met anyone of further importance.
Ooh, buddy. Ooh, buddy. Yeah. Mm.
But continue on to Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, episode 6, Treasures and Darkness? Treasures and Darkness. It's been... you know what? Not too much has gone in this episode, so I'm going to steamroll these notes. I don't really need my tablet for it. So, it's been 30 minutes. That's the one thing I'm going to mention. It was 30 minutes since the last episode when Noah challenged Hirito to a game. The game, obviously from the name, was the treasure hunt thing. And how the rules of this game was they each had partners, which Noah's partner was Shiroyuki. And Hirito's partner was Rina. They're in this building that I believe was separated by 7 floors, maybe. And the objective is to find the room that the partner is hiding in. Now, she didn't explain the rules to Hirito too much, so we were learning about the game as he was learning about the game. Each turn, you get to ask a question. That it's a yes or no question, the person has to answer truthfully. So, like, obviously you ask, she was asking, like, good questions, like, is your partner above or below me? It was like, it's a yes or no, but it's also a two-parter. Like, she eliminates 2 whole floors. And then, like, once you answer a question, I think you get to move 3.
Oh, I say that one, that's her, like, do you say her second ability? Because you can only answer one question, but she has one that lets her ask 2 per turn.
Yeah, she has an ability that, like lets her go twice per turn. So I think, what was weird in this game is, like, I think you can only move 3 spaces, but, like, she was moving, at some point she was moving 6, which was, like, taking both her turns at once. I think just to avoid the flaw in the game, she has to take 3 and then another 3. But you only can move X amount of spaces. So you know, she was moving one space, which made no sense to me. But so that was how the game progressed. And like Rina and what's the hacking girl's name? What was it? Not Akabane.
Akatsuchi? I have no idea.
I forget, but like smart, the hacking girl that's always in the earpiece, they're like trying to figure out how to, you know, hack this, rig this game. And like Rina, this game really showed off how smart Rina was, which she kind of had to be to pretend to be Sayansi. Because she was a 7-star, so she purely by deduction on most, she figured out where Shiroyuki was. And the thing about this game is they each have 3 chances to answer the question, but you can use a point from your answering to move your person. So they were going back and forth to find each other and moving, and like towards the end of the game, because this game took up the whole episode, but it was like really a simplistic game. The end of the episode, towards the end of the game, when Hirito had to wait for Shiroyuki to like change rooms, and he had to pass her by because you have to walk to the room you're changing to, he told her like, it's gonna be cold around 10. Make sure you turn the air on. I was like, all right, he's gonna find her with like the temperature or something. So when the game progresses and like Noah moves Shiroyuki, Rina automatically figures out what 3 rooms it could possibly be. Due to it can't be above or below him because he would hear it. It can't be above or below her because she didn't hear it. And if Noah was smart, she would put Shiroyuki just beyond his moving space capabilities, which was only 3 spaces on the board. And I was like, bro, that right there was big brain. I mean, honestly, that could have been a flavor if I remembered it correctly. Because that was just pure genius. So after that, what seemed like Hirito, it's like she couldn't stomp him, she completely moved Shiroyuki at random, which turned out to be really unlucky, because when it hit 10, she turned the air on, and she happened to be right under Hirito. So Hirito found her, but she used some, I think, illegal ability to force his move null and void. And at this
Altered Fate was the thing.
Yeah, and at this point, he already revealed that the way he found out where she was that Rina is actually in the control room that like monitors all the classrooms and tells you which one is which. So she goes down to catch Rina, who's actually Sanzi, and like she's still playing the role. And when everyone gets together, Hirito reveals to like, nope, you didn't beat me. It's like, what are you talking about? Well, I used this really handy card called Pinch Hitter. Who you actually beat was Shiroyuki, so I'm still undefeated.
Yeah.
So she has her dramatic moment. Oh my god, and for some reason her shoes rip off.
I thought she was trying to set up a case or something for that. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It was so weird and out of place, but he gets her to admit that the puppeteer behind the strings is one of the, hold on, I have that written down, is the headmaster of the 13th district, I believe it was. And so Hirito goes back into the character and says, who do you think I am? I don't care who it is. If it's a game, I'm going to win, blah, blah, blah. And actually puts her shoe on for some reason. I don't even know why it came off. But that's how that episode ended. Again, you know, it's not like, oh my God, we got to talk about this, or oh my God, we got to watch the next episode. But entertaining show. I'm entertained.
Yeah, there wasn't much for me to that I wrote down for that anyway, so. Yeah, left it in your capable hands for a synopsis.
Yeah, it's easier to do synopsis on episodes like that. It's just like, it's not really much to talk about.
Yeah.
If you're going to make the whole episode a game, I'm just going to summarize the game.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. Like to see where this one continues. Hopefully it's something good. But yeah, on to the new show. The Legendary Hero is Dead. Season 1, Episode 1, The Legendary Hero is Dead. So, when I was picking out new shows, I was like, there was one I saw. I was like, oh, this is cool. But then I seen it also was classroom-based. So I was like, ooh, we might be merging the two shows if we did those together. So, I saw this one. It was a little quirky on the premise and like what they were doing. I was like, you know, this may be a good show. So we'll give it a shot. It starts off talking about the legendary hero, Sion Braden. He's going to shut down the gates of hell. And then we get to this guy, Tuka Scott. He's a farmer. And he's picking out giant radishes in his garden. And his childhood friend, Yuna Yanis, she comes over. And she's like, why are you putting stockings on the radish? She's like, oh, it has such a shapely whatever. I was like, oh, man, this guy's a pervert already. Not even like 3 minutes in. I'm like, good God. Man. But, yeah, so... They start talking. I guess he was sitting down, and this was another funny part that was kind of crazy. He starts to like pull up her boots, and then like she thoroughly like stomps him. I'm like, ooh, yeah, my guy, he down bad, he hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, like having daydreams about pulling up stockings on radishes, and I'm like, oh man.
Weird obsession, and like at least two other people in that village have the same obsession.
Yeah, Thigh Shepherd, they called him something. Yeah, and then so while they're doing that, a devil shows up and it's in the village. And this was another funny part. My man, he digs a hole with like the bamboo sprites, like Vietnam style, and he cooks some meat because it was going to. The devil was going to eat Yuna, and he was trying to like divert his attention and kill it. Doesn't do it. The devil takes a sniff, like, I hate pork. And then this is when Sion Braden shows up, and he's like, oh man, I'm sorry I'm late, or whatever. The hero spiel, he kills the devil, and I'm like, oh, it's nice to save him. And he's like, oh, you're the same one from 3 years ago. Of course I remember that smile. And she's like, oh, lovey-dovey. And this is where my flavor came in. And the guy tries to, Tuka tries to enter. And she's like, oh, why don't you shut up and go to the corner and play with your meat some more? I was like, dang. Got him. Killed him. Massacred my boy.
TKO. He's out.
Someone called the school nurse. Yeah. And then so this is when the trouble starts. There's some noise and everyone thinks it's another devil. And the hero's like, oh, nope, that's just my stomach. I'm really hungry. And he's like, oh, hey, it's a barbecued pork. And then he walks over here and I was like, okay. He just disappeared or teleported? And then I was like, oh, the hole. The hole's there. And my man's dead in the hole. Like, bro, you couldn't have, like, sensed it? You couldn't have, like, used a teleportation skill? Like, anything? Just to get out of there?
Bruh. Trash legendary hero.
He is the absolute worst legendary hero ever. So, but yeah, it was funny because she invited him to go to dinner and he was like, oh, I want some of the meat now, and then just falls in the trap.
I smell barbecue.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, you killed the Legend Hero. The gates can't be sealed without him. And then this is when he had his harebrained scheme. He's like, who's going to believe that I killed a legendary hero, a lowly human like me, and this, that, and the other? And they're like, you know what? He's right.
He goes, and let's be real. He was trespassing.
Trespassing. I have the right to protect my meat against trespassers who want to eat it.
Oh, yeah. What a weird start.
But yeah, it was different, but like different in a way that you could enjoy it.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to say Legendary Hero is missing, and we're going to go out back and bury his body. And they did. I was like, man, it's terrible. And then he goes to sleep, and he wakes up looking like the Legendary Hero. And I'm like, oh, man, he did pull some type of switcheroo. Or I figured, like, this might be, like, a body takeover curse when it ends or something. I was like, oh, what kind of sorcery is this? And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to go over to Yuna's house and see. Maybe this is just, like, a little random effect. And Yuna's like, oh, Legendary Hero. Oh, you came to visit me. But how on earth are you here? You're supposed to be dead. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm alive. And then he makes her dress up for him. I'm like, this guy.
Yo, and she actually, no hesitation.
Yeah.
But then she's like, this man stink.
Yeah. And so she's like, the Legendary Hero's here. And he's looking at me with those eyes of longing. And like, I was thinking, like, it's all perspective. Because I saw that meme that was like, the difference between like, harassment and like flirting is like how you look. And I was like, this pretty much sums it right here, because she's ready for the Legendary Hero, but my boy, she was like, nope, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not doing too well either, and one of his eyes falls out, and then she's just like, oh, I don't believe you, you're not the Legendary Hero, you're not Tuca. And then this is when they hear the necromancy lady. And she's trapped over his hole that went out.
Bro, these holes are OP.
Yeah, they undefeated. They like truck cunt.
Yeah, like, they out here just claiming lives.
Yeah, truck cunt. We find out her name is Henri Hangisworth, and she traveled to Legendary Hero. And this is when they have their moment. The Legendary Hero told her to bequeath his body to someone she deems worthy of saving the world. And unfortunately, it was him. Which is sad because he's not strong enough, I guess, in a way. Because part of the drawback of this spell is that you have to use your own mana to sustain it and the sword.
That motherfucker got no mana.
Yeah, no mana.
He can't use either.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he doesn't want to do it, but he's like, you see this tag? It's called Coffin of the Living, and like his essence and being and everything is like in his and his head there. So if that thing's crushed, then he gets crushed. So, yeah. So essentially she blackmails him to being the Legendary Hero because he wants to live. So then they go to town, and like the women are like falling all over themselves to say, oh, the Legendary Hero and such. And then they go see the magic shop and see Lil Juan that Yuna likes. And they're like, oh, how much is it? It's $10,000. And he's like, oh, man, can you guys get out? And my boy Tuca goes in there to negotiate.
Yo, this man, he might suck at everything else, but he is good at negotiating.
Yeah. So then they go to the tavern to eat. They get the meal comped. They see some woman and they're like, oh, hey, legendary. And then start talking to him. And the bodyguard, she's like, oh, we'll check to see if you're real with our bodyguard because he fought alongside him before. And it's like, we'll see. And so they get to fight and his eye pops out. He's like, oh, no, my eye. And then so then we flash over to Yuna and Henri at the guild. And my man Kyle Osment comes in, starts talking to him. It's like, oh, he also traveled with the hero. And then we flash back to the legendary hero when he's about to get burned at the stake. And then Kyle shows up. And this is, he says he's the real deal. And he did like the sword and did all the stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, he's real. And then so they go out, they escape. And we find out that his mana, Tuka's mana, is really weak. He's like a baby. And Yuna's not much further.
Yeah, she's like one level higher.
Yeah, she's a toddler. And so then they're going to fight for a right to duel to be a hero. So. That was it. Not much left to do.
No. We'll see what the it almost seems comedy-driven show brings us next episode.
Be nice. Might be a new breath of fresh air with this one.
Did you see the trailer to Spy Family Season 2?
I did not watch it, but I know it's coming out October 15th.
Yes, sir. So yeah. It is Eminence of Shadow Season 2, in October.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
That's fine.
Evidence of Shadow.
Eminence of Shadow. I think it's one you watch on Amazon, but it's a really good isekai. Guy is OP as hell. But like basically, he has this dream world, like this fantasy he wants to live in. And when he gets isekai'd, he's like tricking the women he's saving into like believing this fantasy, but everything he's telling them is actually true. Like he doesn't know it, but like everything he said is actually happening. And he just thinks that the girls have been like playing along with him this whole time, but like no, everything he said is going down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw something similar before where the guy, all he does is speak and it, and like that's a superpower and it's in existence. So he can never be beat. And his power can change the physics of the world and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was like, huh, interesting.
All right. Well, I will carry on with Villain Saga, episode 10, Ragnarok. My man Thorko, he was launching big rocks like a cannon all to the camp because like they weren't doing anything. If you guys remember previous episode, King Swain left 4,000 men under Canute's leadership to, I guess, take care of the London Bridge or at least just keep them occupied. But Thorko, he got impatient because Canute wasn't doing anything but I guess praying every day. So he just started launching the big rocks like a cannon and crushing people. The Canute's men were actually getting tired of waiting for him, and all he was doing was getting blessed, and they wanted to fight, or at least they wanted to do something other than just wait there. I forget his name. the guy that's like watching over Canute, he goes in there and he kind of like tries to tell him like, hey, like, we're gonna keep you safe. Never mind what's going on out there. And while while Zorko is throwing a tantrum, some guy goes up there and like tries to talk to him and is like, hey, relax. I hear the main army left Prince Canute. And that seems to get Zorko excited. So don't know what his beef was Prince Canute, but we finished that part with him excited. We go over and Thorfinn is clearly dreaming about Vinland, I'm assuming. And like his dad's there, his mom's there, his sister's there, like the town's there. And in his dream, like his dad, it seems like he's trying to warn him about like give up your need for revenge. And at some point, they walk over to the hill and like I guess they see villagers the village being attacked and like people shot arrows at them and like he had to relive his father's death in a dream. So he wakes up in a where they keep the horse and they feed the horse. He was sleeping on some hay and he couldn't get back to sleep. So he went for a walk. Askeladd's guys who were feasting and eating, they got two of them got into an argument and they ended up fighting to the death. Bjorn told one of the guys like, whatever happens, just let Askeladd know we lost somebody, no matter who's the one who dies. Thorfinn, he makes his way up a hill and actually runs into Askeladd, and Askeladd's like trying to make small talk and like saying how big Thorfinn has gotten, and Thorfinn like cuts him off like, quit with the small talk. Let's not pretend I'm a part of your crew. I'm here for one reason, to take your life one day, and I won't stop until that happens. And Askeladd, even though Thorfinn's given him the usual stubborn, I only care about killing you attitude, he's actually like talking about history. He's like, hey, do you know where these came from? These were actually the Romans who made this, and they were so advanced in civilization, but the Saxons attacked, and they didn't have the knowledge, and this is what it became. Now we're attacking the Saxons, and I think what he was trying to get at is that not all the time, like, violence doesn't always make things better, because, like, you had an advanced civilization and the Saxons came along and they just killed them. And like without any knowledge on how to keep the technology or like the architecture going, they officially like regress as a species?
Civilization.
Civilization. Yeah, they regressed. And now like, I don't know if Askeladd meant to send this message, but like now you have pirates attacking the Saxons who like have like what their version of the civilization, although regressed, and like pirates mainly live in the ocean. So like really it's kind of like it's going to regress further because they're not going to live there. So the village is going to essentially become nothing. So a little talk with Doors about that, while some dude from the Canute's army was racing towards the main army on a horse. Askeladd calls him over and actually lets us know that Thorko defeated Canute's army very easily. Like he gathered the strongest people who would follow him and started marching towards the army with 500 people, the main army. So the guy was heading towards the main army. Let me see. Thorkill, he also revealed that Thorkill kidnapped the Prince Canute. And upon learning that, Askeladd immediately beheaded the guy that was on the horse and said, whether we make a deal with King Swain or the London people, there's going to be a huge reward for Prince Canute, and we're going to get it. So that's where we ended that.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about the fact that my boy Thorfinn, in his dream, he was like, everything's right or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you could have been living that life had you stayed off the boat. Like, you're a victim in this. You did it to yourself, my guy.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. But yeah, also how my boy just sleeping next to a dead body. I'm like, it's crazy. Was he? Yeah. You didn't see the axe sticking out of the dude's body just sitting there?
Nah, I didn't. I'll be honest.
I was like, man, my man just sleeping next to a dead body.
He's probably the one that killed him.
Yeah. Probably. He's crazy.
Oh, Thorfinn.
But yeah, I did think it also messed up how, I said, you already finished your synopsis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. But I also think it was messed up how they sliced that man's neck off to deliver the horse when he asked for help.
Yo, and it killed the horse. He said bury the body and the horse. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and I was like, all because he... I was like, why did he do that? And basically it was because they wanted to... he wanted to make the odds worse, I guess. 100, it's like 5-1 odds. And I'm like, really? That's what you're going to do? He's like, I don't know. We'll win. We might lose. We'll see when we get there. I'm like, really, really?
He kept mentioning that Ragnarok is coming, by the way. I didn't bring that up. The title of the actual episode. He kept mentioning that Ragnarok was coming.
He was like, the twilight of something, he said. And he cut his head off. I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Askeladd has, like, moments of, like, he seems, like, wise and, like, a true warrior. But then, like, I think my man is just, like, stuck in a path of greed and, like, a leader of pirates. And he kind of, like, enjoys the savagery part of it as well.
Yeah. I'm a savage. Classy. Boozy.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, man, you did that. Why? Craziness.
Shall we proceed?
Oh, yeah. I almost thought we were done. I forgot all about Reign of Seven Blades. So, season 1, episode 3, Soldier, the Reign of the Seven Spellblades. So, forget old girl. She's fighting. She's the succubus. She gives birth to, like, this creature to fight the 5th-year senior, the old man. I'm like, oh, man.
That was fucking wild.
Yeah, I was like, this is crazy. Which, the old man, he's a necromancer. So, yeah, it was interesting fight. Nanao shows up and she's like, oh, I'll hold him off while you guys run. And she's like, this seems like an appropriate place to end. Or I don't think she said end or appropriate place to die or something. So the guy necromancy's a big old spine to wrap around the weird creature she just did. And some guy shows up named Alvin Godfrey, and he just like destroys both the monsters. And he's a student body president. And then the guy that shows up, who may be my new favorite character in the show, Carlos Withrow, he shows up to lead them out.
I was like, there had to be a Carlos in this show.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. So then they get to talking. Oliver's mad that Nanao was going to sacrifice herself. And then we get to Nanao's backstory, how she recounts her time on the battlefield. And she led a troop of, like, led her small contingent of men against 50,000 men. And she's fighting people. She's fighting a dude, and, like, she's cutting them down. And she's like, "General, I want to make a request. I want to duel the strongest of your army." And he's like, "You fool, you killed the strongest and you didn't even know."
Yeah.
I was like, "Man."
She's okay. Like, "No." Yeah. What a slap in the face. It's like, "I hear your son is the strongest in the army. I want to fight him." You bitch, you just killed him.
Sure did. I was like, "Man, that is crazy." So then she's about to get speared because they surround her, and they're like, "We're not even going to ask you your name because we're going to make sure you don't go down in history or anything or something." And then that's when was it Flanagan, Michelle Flanagan or something?
It was Goldilocks' dad.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last name. It's not Flanagan or something. It's, well, Michelle's dad shows up and he comes to save her. And we find out the reason why she was the way she is with trying to just fight and, like, end her life and such is because she wanted to experience a fight with no negative feeling between her and the adversary. And apparently it's like some state of bliss or some samurai ritual thing where when it happens, it, you know, it's like they're, I guess you can liken it to like their Valhalla, just mm-hmm. crazy, which reminds me, I just remember that Canute was praying to a cross. I'm like, when did he become
Christian?
Yeah, but then also think that he's not actually Norse, now that I was thinking about it. So, I don't know. That's weird. But yeah, so they convince Nanao to stop doing her whole little suicide brigade that she's on. And so I think Oliver and Nanao know that they were always fated to be with each other because Shelley was like, "Yeah, they cross the blades and they know that they're fated to be each other." They're like, "Oh, their blades are such strong at such a young age." I'm like, okay, yeah. Yeah, and then so they get the class starts, and they ask Mr. Garland, could he wield a spell blade, which we found out that spell blade is a one step, one spell distance guaranteed hit. Like, kind of like Jujutsu. And there's 6 spell blades right now.
Well, does that mean this is about to get real complicated?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, I guess. There's 6 right now, but it's supposed to be 7.
Domain expansion.
Yeah. And then Richard Anders, he challenges Oliver to a duel. Because he was just trying to showboat. And now, like, notices his, like, posture change. He's like, "Hey, are you planning on losing?" And she's like, "If you're planning on losing, then why even fight him?" And I'm like, "Yeah, she's right." And so Shelly, she defused the situation. She's like, "Yeah, Richard's fixated on showing his strength. And this, that, the other. It's probably my fault. Like, we were up to, with each other. And, like, I might have been a little stronger than he was. Da-da-da. Da-da-do."
What I don't... What I don't get about that guy is, in the last episode when they when Oliver and Nanao fought, Shelley asked him, "Do you think you could have took either of them on?" And like he got humbled. So what made him think in the day, the 24 hours that passed, he now had what it takes to take on my boy Oliver?
I think it's been a little further than 24 hours.
Okay, 48. Maybe a week. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say there's been some time.
You think he got his training arc in?
If he had a hyperbolic time chamber? Sure. Or if he learned a spell for making you speed up magic time or slow down time so you can train? Yeah.
Oh, he ain't that guy.
He might be that guy.
Nah, he's not him.
I don't know. But anyhow, so they run, one of their friends run up and says Katie ran to save the troll from being executed. And they flash to where she's at. She's not budging. And she doesn't want to move. And the teacher hits her with like a taser spell. And she dropped like a sack of potatoes. And his name is Darius Greenville. And they're giving him a little speech. And all the other teachers shows up and they're like, hey, we outlawed torture magic teaching kids years ago. He's like, oh, I'm not gonna change my stripes. I'm a tiger. And then we reach one fourth year, a high level fourth year, Vera Milligan. There's a direction file to save the troll. Troll Death Injunction. It's in evidence now being reviewed. And then, yeah, I looked at the troll. The troll looked like it might have been controlled. Because it was sitting there like remorseful in the cage. Like, I don't want to be in this cage. I just want to be out frolicking in the lands.
Yeah, I remember when it attacked, like someone in the crowd was waving their wand before it went like hostile.
So that happened, and then we found out that Anders has officially issued a challenge for Nanao and Oliver. I'm like, really, my guy? Really, my guy? That's what
Both
you
of
want to
them.
do? Yeah. Goof of them.
He said, I'm ready.
I'm young and I'm ready. But yeah. Yeah, it's heating up. It looks like it's getting good. I think I might have picked two bangers for a change.
Listen, I was in a slump for a while.
Hey, I gotta bounce back like it's magic.
All right, so shall we finish off with Jujutsu and then wrap it up.
Yeah, you know it.
Okay.
Yeah. Jujutsu Kaisen, chapter 236, heading south. Yeah, so my first initial thought was like, is this a flashback? Could I said something? And I was like, is this the afterlife? Because I was like, they normally do that with your life perspective passing through you, passing you by. And so we get to Gojo said he's drawn. He gives a convoluted, whole bunch of spiel of this and the other. And eventually, we get to the part where he said he drew a line as a living being, a living creature. And I was like, what does that even mean? So then he said he's going to keep teach Sukuna love, which reminds you of the lady that was like, yeah, I'm going to teach Sukuna love. She ended up like merging with him or something. But yeah, I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then we get to like the present day, and my Sukuna explains the involatility. Gojo's cut in half, laying on the ground. I'm like, damn. I was like, where's that boy where like it stops stuff previously and then you can put yourself back together?
Yo, I was just like, surprise? Surprise revive? I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, something for my guy.
I guess this fight boiled down to like Gojo. I guess he didn't understand the Mahoraga enough.
Yeah. He probably didn't. I have no idea.
Because
But I
Sukuna
was
was
like,
saying
man.
something about like while it's adapting, if it gets hit by anything else, the adaptation gets sped up. So that's broken.
Yeah.
Where's the
So I
fairness
was
in
like,
that?
there's no fairness. But yeah, it's crazy. I was like, man, my boy did.
Bruh,
Man.
if we lose Megami, bro, Itadori lost everyone.
Sure did, but I ain't sad at it. Builds character.
Yeah, it builds depression, I think it builds for him.
It might build for him, or it builds character. Who knows?
We
But yeah,
shall find out.
we will find out. Because I was like, man, I don't believe it. Y'all on me. On me.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about, Irby?
No. That was it.
All right, guys.
Just new stuff.
Guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, as always. You've been far too kind. If you enjoyed, like, comment, share. I know all the people clapping will. Peace.
Peace.